What was it about the film that was so terrible?
Well, there was an incident, more than one, actually.
I'm calling because you're looking into that movie. I think I might have something.
Based on the rumors, I'd say we're probably safer keeping Beckman where he is. In the past, mysterious, but...
But what?
But unable to affect us.
It was always there, waiting, wanting to take hold.
When people visit or look into the places listed in these pages, they die.
It's not for us to see.
Violent, sexual, and physically, and there were a number of incidents.
I'd like you to help me find him.
About the last movie.
We need to meet as soon as possible.
I'm calling because you're looking into that. I'm calling to that.
Fear of death is the shine of life. It is the rotted, festering core at the center of the apple. It fills us with dread, but feeds us the sweet illusion of life eternal. Do you want to know what lives in the dark? What squirms in the black corners of your mind? Tearing you apart with heat and fire as you explode into life in your one perfect moment? Anders Bechmann, Cahiers du Cinéma, 1971. From the Public Radio Alliance in Minnow Beach, Wales, you're listening to The Last Movie. I'm Nick Silver. Stay with us. The Public Radio Alliance studio is located in a converted loft near the University of Washington, close to Seattle's NPR affiliate, KUOW, and not far from the theater where I saw my first horror film at the age of 12. I don't actually remember what the film was called. All I can remember is that some aliens were involved and there was an evil child, and there was something extremely disgusting growing out of a man's back. And the music was terrifying. Welcome to The Last Movie Podcast. I suppose, in simple terms, The Last Movie is a TANIS podcast spin-off. It is, after all, narrated by me, Nick Silver, and I would never have become obsessed with The Last Movie if it wasn't for a remarkably resourceful friend I met while working on TANIS. Although we believe you'd really dig TANIS, you don't need to listen to TANIS to enjoy The Last Movie. It stands entirely on its own. During my exploration into the myth of TANIS, I've uncovered some pretty strange things. A number of those strange things probably wouldn't have been uncovered if it wasn't for a friend of mine named Mir Catnip, not her real name. I'll most likely be referring to her as MK from this point forward, although I might slip and use Mir Catnip from time to time. Force of habit. Something that MK became very interested in, something we'd uncovered during our time exploring the myth of TANIS together, was a film from the 1970s that may or may not exist. a film known as The Last Movie or Tenebris Occulta, among other names. Nobody can agree on the title or if The Last Movie ever actually had a title. Allegedly, it's called The Last Movie because it's the last thing you ever see. A quick note on MK. She's what you might call, in layman's terms, a hacker. Although she's going to hate the fact that I just said that. She's not political at all. She refers to herself as an information specialist. I won't go into a great deal of detail on MK, mainly because she'd kill me if she heard me talking about her personal life on this show. You'll get to know more about her as we move forward with this series. So, let's move forward. First things first, how did we stumble across The Last Movie? While researching the myth of Tanis, MK found a clue posted on Snapchat, something that led her to believe that somebody from Parzavella Communications, a mysterious corporation tied to the Tanis myth, was looking for a print of The Last Movie for another shadowy organization, a covert group known only as Section. You don't need to remember any of these corporate names, it's just backstory. Legend has it that everyone who sees The Last Movie goes insane. As MK put it, kill your entire family and then yourself with a serrated kitchen knife insane. Most of the people who claim to have seen the film, or parts of the film, agree that all or some of The Last Movie is set in the Pacific Northwest. There are allegedly lots of dark green trees, water, and of course, there's the strange conspiracy and occult stuff in there as well. Rumor has it that The Last Movie shows the actual deaths of groups of people, one group jumping from a tall building, another tearing themselves and each other apart in a clearing in the deep woods. Others believe the film is fake, that it was created by a special effects artist. If that was the case, one expert who has allegedly seen clips from the film claims that those types of special effects wouldn't be invented for decades. Here's a clip from the Tanis podcast, where MK and I discussed The Last Movie. What was it about?
Apparently everyone who sees it goes insane, like kill your entire family and then yourself with a serrated kitchen knife insane.
Wow.
Yeah, it's allegedly set in the Pacific Northwest, lots of trees, it's really deep conspiracy stuff. They say it's either authentic or it somehow incorporates visual effects that wouldn't be invented until decades later.
And you have no idea what it's called?
Depends who you ask. It has a whole bunch of different titles. Tenebris Occulta, Enfer sur Terre, Hell on Earth, The Trees. But most people on the deep web simply refer to it as The Last Movie, because if you ever do manage to see it, it's the last thing you ever see.
I don't suppose you have a copy?
No, but that's only because it doesn't exist.
You're sure?
I'm almost positive. This kind of thing would be hard to keep secret, especially from me.
But not impossible?
No, not impossible, but unlikely.
If you don't mind looking into it a bit more, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. I'm still on the payroll, right?
Right. I first saw the short film, A Trip to the Moon, by Georges Méliès in a film studies course during my second year at university. It was groundbreaking at the time, but to us it looked cheesy and kind of funny. You've most likely seen it, or clips of it. It's the film where the rocket ship lands in the moon's eye. There was a really fun mockumentary released in 2016 called Fury of the Demon. That film posits a world in which an infamous short film by Georges Méliès called Fury of the Demon caused audiences to go insane in 1897, 1939, and 2012. The film describes three separate screenings involving blood, murder, madness, mayhem, fire, and death. And after each screening, of course, the deadly and mysterious film goes missing, only to turn up and kill again years later. It's an extremely fun story that reveals not only an encyclopedic understanding of horror cinema, but a true love of the history of film itself. But what if a film like this actually existed? What if there really was something out there, a feature film, created by a filmmaker all but erased from the history books? A film that really did drive audiences to tear each other apart in a frenzy of blood, hair, bones, and teeth. A film that almost nobody walked out of alive. In the unlikely event that somebody did manage to crawl, bloodied and half beaten to death from one of the two or three rumored screenings of the film, those people remained insane and silent for the remainder of their short and terrible lives. Could Tenebris Occulta or The Last Movie be such a film? Initial screenings of The Exorcist were met with fainting and hysteria. Jaws really did make people afraid to enter the water. What if there was something darker? Perhaps something that was actually designed to have a murderous effect. It was my friend MK who started me down this road, so I wanted to begin this podcast series with her. Here, MK and I discuss what we know or don't know about The Last Movie and its enigmatic director, Anders Carl Beckman. Hey.
Hey.
So thanks for coming to the studio.
Yeah, no problem.
What do you think?
It's not bad.
Not bad. We have a pinball machine. I
mean, good for you.
Well, I'm going to say thank you again for suggesting we do this show. It's been fascinating.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's totally fucking crazy, this thing. Can I say fuck on this one?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay, well, I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay, I'll beep it out if we're going for a clean rating.
Okay, cool. That's going to be way easier for me, so...
Okay. So, I thought we'd start off with a kind of state of the union, what we know, what we don't know, theories, possibilities. Is that cool?
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so... what do we know?
Well, we don't really know anything for sure.
Nothing.
No, nothing. Why do you think I'm so interested in finding a movie that doesn't exist?
That kind of makes sense, I guess.
The Last Movie, or Hell on Earth, or Tenebris Occulta. What are we going to call it?
Well, that is a good question. What do you think?
I think Tenebris Occulta. That seems to pop up the most with the Dark Net set.
Okay. Tenebris Occulta it is.
So at first there was only the movie, the reputed screenings, the man in the dark suit and pork pie hat who reportedly shows up at all the screenings. Rumors of the film opening a gateway to hell, people jumping from high buildings, women miscarrying, children going insane, you know, the usual.
The usual. So what do we know about the director, Anders Carl Beckman?
Not much, nothing concrete anyway.
Okay.
We know he was probably Swedish.
Probably.
Yeah, there were a few people who believed he may have been an American using a Swedish pseudonym.
Aren't there any audio interviews?
You're thinking, did he have a Swedish accent?
Yeah.
No audio interviews and no photos.
No photos?
No.
At all?
No, not at all. There's literally nothing.
He's dead?
Dead? Yeah, almost certainly, yes.
When?
There's conflicting reports, but a man named Anders Carl Beckman was buried in Stockholm in 1992.
How did he die?
No idea.
Did Beckman make any other feature-length films?
He reputedly made a drama that screened at some international film festivals over the years, but there's no concrete evidence of those screenings. These were allegedly very small festivals.
And no photos?
I mean, there must have been photos, they just didn't end up online.
And physical copies?
Nothing I could find.
Right.
You know I tried, right?
I'm sure you did, of course.
So Beckman flirted with a bit of success early on, but similar to the photo situation, there isn't much information available online. He's barely a footnote when he's mentioned. There are sporadic articles about The Last Movie and a few events that occurred around his more horror-type stuff.
What kind of horror-type stuff?
Allegedly, there were a few short films credited to Anders Beckman, including something that reputedly almost screened at Cannes, but they're impossible to find.
Almost screened at Cannes?
Yeah, there was an accident.
What kind of accident?
The dead people kind.
Okay, could you elaborate?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
So the short film was kind of a precursor to Tenebris Occulta, kind of like exploration of the occult. You know that Aleister Crowley, Jack Parsons, the Lima Devil shit?
I know it well.
Well, that's the kind of shit Anders Breckman was allegedly into as well.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so a van was transporting a few of the films from where they were being stored at the festival office over to the theater when it supposedly just burst into flames.
Just burst into flames.
Yeah, that's the rumor. The films were lost, including a rare Bergman short that was going to be part of a special series.
And was Beckman in attendance at any of these festivals?
No.
You don't think Beckman may have been an American working under a pseudonym?
Possible, I suppose. There were some people who believe the film was written and directed by somebody else entirely.
Who?
Well, there were three Americans initially considered potential creators of the last movie. Carl Werner, Kenneth Anger, and Laura Riest.
Kenneth Anger, Lucifer Rising?
Yep, that was him. The Magic Lantern Cycle.
I thought Anger made short films exclusively.
Makes.
He's still alive?
Yeah, he sure is. He may have been present at a screening of what may have been Tenebris Occulta.
Okay, well, if that's true, it means the film doesn't kill everyone who sees it, right?
Anger didn't see it.
Why not?
Because he was late. He opened the theater doors to see if he could catch the last few minutes, but by the time he arrived, the floor was already, like, slick with blood. There'd been an audience of at least 70 people. Many of them were either dead or dying. The rest of them went completely insane.
Okay.
Apparently, a young man whose Achilles tendons had both been bitten or ripped apart slowly pulled himself up the center aisle through the thick, dark blood and handed Anger his tongue. Right?
What?
Allegedly, Anger said later that he believed the young man had chewed it off himself. Super fucked up.
Anger said later to who?
Hang on, we'll get to that.
Wow, okay. So what year was this alleged screening?
There's conflicting reports, but sometime in the early 70s.
And where?
Again, conflicting reports. It was either while Anger was working with Jimmy Page in Scotland or back in New York. There's very little information available, but I'm leaning towards New York.
We're all huge fans of Kenneth Anger, and we reached out for an interview but have so far received no reply. So the producers have asked us to state that any reference to Kenneth Anger here in the Last Movie podcast, until we hear from Kenneth Anger himself, should be considered nothing more than unsubstantiated rumor.
So how do we know about the bloodbath in the theater and the tongue situation?
Cameron, or Marjorie Cameron.
Jack Parsons' wife?
Mm-hmm, that's her. She said Anger never spoke about what happened in the theater, about what he saw when he opened the doors.
But he told her.
Anger and Cameron had a falling out at some point, and it was during that time that Cameron told an interviewer what Anger told her about Tenebris Occulta. So in a later interview before her death, somebody asked Cameron about the last movie, and she said that Anger only spoke about the film once, and that whenever she brought it up, even in private, he would get short with her, tell her that she was mistaken, and she had misremembered some old Jack Parsons story and attributed it to Anger instead.
Is that possible?
Absolutely.
Do you think it's possible that Kenneth Anger directed Tenebris Occulta?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. Okay, so what else do we know or not know about the film?
There's so much more that we don't know.
Yeah, I'm getting that sense.
That's why we're going to find out.
I like your spirit.
I know you do.
Hey everyone, it's Nick. I'm talking to you now because my cousin Terry Miles has written a book. It's called Rabbits and it's coming out June 8th. It's being published by one of my favorite imprints in the world, Del Rey. If you enjoy any of the podcasts we've created over the years, you're really going to dig this book. It's not an adaptation of the first season of Rabbits, it's a proper standalone novel. You can find Rabbits wherever books are sold or check terrymiles.com for more information. Thank you so much for all of the support over the years. It means a lot. Check the Rabbits podcast feed for a 3-episode miniseries called The Path, a rabbit story. And remember, if you're interested in the Rabbits novel, you can find it anywhere books are sold or visit terrymiles.com for more information. So, Marjorie Cameron Parsons Kimmel, who, by the time she starred as the Scarlet Woman in Kenneth Anger's film Inauguration of the Pleasure Dome, was simply known as Cameron, appeared to be connected, however tenuously, to the last movie. She'd heard a sensational story, allegedly from infamous short film director Kenneth Anger, which alluded to a number of deaths at a screening of the film, Tenebris Occulta. How could a story about people dying and going insane in a movie theater not exist somewhere in newspapers or online? Why was information on this film so hard to find? Well, we'll get into all of that stuff soon. But first, is it possible that just before her death, Marjorie Cameron set off on a quest of her own to track down the last movie? First, a very quick bullet point rundown on Marjorie Cameron's connection to the world of the occult. She lived, by all accounts, an extraordinary life. From her time in the Navy to her work in fashion illustration to her powerful personal artwork, Cameron was a talented, multifaceted woman and artist. By the time she burst into the lives of Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard, Cameron was ready for a grand post-Navy adventure. At the time, Jack Parsons was designing rockets for JPL by day and practicing a version of Aleister Crowley's Thelema by night. As an aside, I spend a lot more time digging into the amazing story of Jack Parsons, Thelema, and Crowley on the TANIS podcast. Jack Parsons, occultist slash rocket scientist, and L. Ron Hubbard, the future creator of Scientology, had allegedly just finished a number of rituals designed to summon an elemental, a woman who was meant to become Parsons' lover. As soon as Cameron walked into the mansion in Pasadena with her flaming red hair and piercing blue eyes, Parsons knew their dark magical evocations had worked. Parsons and Cameron quickly fell into bed and began their exploration of sex magic. Cameron had willingly or unwittingly become part of something Parsons and Hubbard were calling the Babylon Working. A ritual that was meant to pull the Thelemite goddess Babylon to earth in the form of a human female. There's no question Parsons believed he'd summoned his elemental using magic, and that Marjorie Cameron was that mystical creature. After Parsons' death in 1952, Cameron, convinced somebody or some organization had assassinated her husband, began performing black magic rituals to try and communicate with his spirit. She moved to Beaumont and established a cult or occult organization she called the Children. I've asked my friend Lori Henry to read a letter about Marjorie Cameron by a man named Gerald York, writing to Carl Germer.
In medical language, Cameron is a lunatic. Elementals and forces and ideas like Babylon, when uncontrolled, are dangerous. She is now uncontrolled because Jack is dead. Her lunatic four- or five-fold black and white moonchild operations, or attempted operations, are summarized by Aleister Crowley's comment, "I get fairly frantic when I contemplate the idiocy of these louts. I would insist on a vow of holy obedience and forbid all workings. In my opinion, the poor girl is too far gone now to stop. You should dissolve and excommunicate her if she does not take and keep the oath. She will be shut up, and rightly so, in a lunatic asylum, as soon as she comes out in the open."
Eventually, the Children dissolved, mainly due to members of the group growing increasingly concerned with Cameron's dire apocalyptic predictions. Cameron returned to Los Angeles and established herself as an artist. It's at this point that she meets filmmakers Curtis Harrington and Kenneth Anger. Harrington's short film, The Wormwood Star, is about Cameron and her painting. The film features a beautiful and strange series of paintings on parchment about a traveling caravan of exotic fantasy creatures. If it wasn't for that film, the images of those paintings would be lost forever. Cameron had a history of destroying most of her work. The Wormwood Star is a remarkably strange, beautiful, and terrifying film. You can see it on YouTube. Cameron moved around a lot, from Joshua Tree to Santa Fe, eventually ending up in West Hollywood, where she lived until her death from cancer in 1995. While in West Hollywood, Cameron was focused on creating art and poetry. However, there are indications that Cameron had another significant interest near the end of her life. Tenebris Occulta, the last movie. MK met with a whole bunch of people while she was in Los Angeles digging into the last movie. One of the people she met with was a woman named Pieta Shaw, a woman who claimed that Marjorie Cameron had solicited her help to find Tenebris Occulta. Here's MK's interview with Pieta Shaw about Marjorie Cameron and the last movie.
Everything okay?
Of course, I'm just opening the circuits.
Okay.
You're not allergic to sage, are you?
Can I say I am?
I'll just burn a little here in the dish.
Okay, so you mentioned on the phone that Marjorie Cameron spoke with you about your husband's work?
Yes, she wanted to read it.
To read it?
His writing. She wanted to read his journals.
And why is that?
Because my husband had seen the film.
The Last Movie is a Public Radio Alliance and Minnow Beats Whale production. You can support The Last Movie by visiting publicradioalliance.com and clicking on Support in the top right corner. If you enjoy The Last Movie, please rate and especially review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you found us. Reviews are key to keeping us on the charts where people can find our show. Thank you so much for listening to The Last Movie. The Last Movie is produced by Terry Miles, produced, mixed, and edited by me, Nick Silver. Additional recording by Elias Underhill and Morgan James. Executive producers Terry Miles and Hollis Adams Lane. If you enjoy The Last Movie, you'll love our sister shows, Tannis and Rabbits, at tannispodcast.com and rabbitspodcast.com, respectively. For legal and safety reasons, we've elected to change some names and leave others out entirely. We don't do this very often, but we're unwilling to compromise people's safety for any reason. Thanks again for listening to The Last Movie.